Good afternoon. Well, actually, it's evening. Good evening, everybody. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and you have tuned in to Paradigm Shifters. And what is a paradigm shifter? Someone who's making a difference in the collective on this planet at this time, collective consciousness. And today our paradigm shifter is actually making a difference in shifting the paradigm of the word spiritual, I think. Vanda Mikulowski, is that what you'd say?
Well, I guess I am. I can't speak for other people or the way they think, but I do come from a place of where there's people have an idea of what spiritual is or isn't, and I come from a place that there's really nothing that isn't spiritual. So it's not such a big deal. make it awfully loopy with angels and dolphins and crystals and rainbows and everything, but it's really everything, you know.
Well, I love, Vanda's a very, very funny stand-up comedian, but we're going to talk today about what it took her to become that, but also you use the title, and you're using it in your new movie, of Spiritually Incorrect Comedy, right?
Yep.
Now, what on earth does that mean?
Well, it gives the spiritual conscious community a heads up that they're going to be made fun of. You know, because it's, you know, everyone has these dogmatic ideals about the right way to live. You know, and some people say that they call themselves conscious. We're conscious. And, you know, they don't really see that, you know, there's a redneck somewhere in the deep south touching his girlfriend on the knee and saying, honey, we got to wake the people up. We got to wake the people up and let them be conscious that we got to, you know, kill black people or whatever. You know what I mean? That he really thinks he's conscious. Everyone thinks they're conscious.
So it's the point of view kind of spirituality.
Yeah. And the truth is that I don't know. I mean, I have a preference or kind of a way I lean in terms of my the way I think everything exists in the universe. But the truth is, I don't know. The evangelicals really could be right, or the Mormons, or the Scientologists. I really don't know.
Were you a nun in your last life?
I don't even know if I believe in past lives. I think it's
really
excellent.
Hmm.
Well, it's just, I don't believe in beliefs. You know what I mean? It's an excellent theory, and to me it's the best theory so far.
Mm-hmm.
But when people talk about channeling or this or that or the other thing, I don't know what in reality is actually going on. You know, I don't know what people say they swear by muscle testing or by pendulum swinging or whatever, you know, and I don't know. Yes, of course the body could have intelligence, and of course the astrological signs could be could tell you something, because we're all interrelated with the earth and everything. And it also could be giving your power away to some crazy, you know, little crapshoot in the sky.
Well, that's true too. So what's the solution? I have to tell you something. It's years and years ago, before I became an intuitive, I used to get really annoyed about astrology, and I'd say to people, well, if astrology's right, then you're a such and such. And they go, well, I am. And then I go, and if astrology's right, well, you're a doodah. And they go, well, I am. So I had to go, well, ooh, maybe there's something to it, you know?
Well, maybe there is, and maybe it's a shifting thing. Maybe you could add to it, because it's not a complete science yet. Maybe people could actually improve it.
Well, one of the things about life is it is not complete, is it?
I think not. You know, someone made it up. It's just like yoga. It's basically bending and breathing, and someone made it up. It's all made up. Everything's made up. Religion, it's all made up.
That makes me laugh. Well, it's all subjective, right?
Right.
I bet you're quite the yoga teacher, girl.
Oh, my gosh. I've given some classes that just make me so happy sometimes. I'll tell you what, my students are phenomenal people. First of all, sometimes it's challenging to get out of bed in the morning and land on all fours. I know, because I have a tendency toward depression. And
most funny people do. It's funny about that.
Yeah, if they're really good, they do.
You need the high highs and the low lows, right?
Oh, it's really what it's what floats your boat, you know. I mean, I came from a family with a lot of tragedy in it and stuff, and I think I walk around. I think I walk around in life sort of somewhat heartbroken anyway, waiting for life to go boom again, you know, and smack me upside the head, you know. And I think that there's something in that posture of survival and defensiveness like that has you be funny. That's one thing.
Well, that could be wrong. I just read a quote from Robin Williams who said, the thing about the only things we're afraid of are the things that have already happened.
That's a good one.
It kind of penetrates, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And he's funny.
Right.
Anyway,
yes.
Yeah. So, so you're saying that the humor might come out as an effort to get energized or something?
I think it just comes out of a I don't know. Some of it's like inching toward enlightenment, actually getting the absurdity, the emptiness and meaninglessness of life. You know, that, I subscribe to a notion that life is empty and meaningless, and it's empty and meaningless that it's empty and meaningless. When I say empty and meaningless, I truly don't mean any meaning to that. I mean like the Buddhists say.
Right.
You know, that there's no inherent meaning except what we bring to it. And so I love, I just love getting, and the absurdity of everything. I mean, the financial crash, that you just look at money in and of itself is like a consensus agreement. Everyone agrees we're going to have this reality called money, and it's going to mean this. And now it's like, uh-oh, it looks like we're going to have a different reality called something else, and it's going to mean something else. And, you know, oh, my God, what do we do, you know? And it's also absurd. And it's funny because my financial situation isn't going to be radically altered if everything goes to hell in a handbasket anyway. But,
But you have something to bring to the table, right?
Everyone does.
That's true.
What do you mean?
I mean, you can stand up and get people going, and you can entertain them and so on. That's a really big thing to bring.
Well, you know, they say during the last depression that the one industry that thrived was entertainment.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, because people were so bummed out about $30 bread or whatever. Yeah, it just, I don't care what happens in this reality. In some ways, it's like, let's surf whatever next wave comes up, you know. And my spending my time worrying about the future is just doesn't give me a brilliant life now. You know what I mean?
Well, I just have to tell you that I'm sitting in front of a big window here, and a whole bunch of birds came by, and there were five different V's that went by. Do you think it's about you?
You or me, both. Maybe we have a destiny together. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little punctuation for us, and they're all kind of silvery, so there you have it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so how did you get to be, you've had quite a spiritual learning curve in this lifetime, haven't you? You did the Ramsa thing and probably many other things as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
how did I...
You know, you went into that right from childhood, or what? Like, what drove you into the spiritual, and what drove you into, or enticed you into the comedian's role?
Well, that's my life story. You're asking right there.
Just
which,
keep
by
it
the way,
short.
Is
you're young,
out.
Aren't you?
Yeah. I see if I can put it in a nutshell for you. 49 years, but I went to school in Philadelphia. I saw stand-up comedy for the first time. This is after a very turbulent childhood. And I was a pretty self-destructive, rebellious kid. Ran away from home a lot. Was a stripper in New York, you know.
Oh, wow.
Like,
good for you.
Yeah. Well, it was the saddest time of my life, actually, because my dad had just died, and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And I just, you know, I would fall in love with... I got fall in these deep emotional dependencies with men that were not good for me, but if they told me I was beautiful, I kind of like became addicted to their charm and whatever. And it was a hard, hard time, but and I, you know, just began doing drugs seriously around that time. And then I finally got into stand-up comedy, and in Philadelphia I saw it for the first time, and it was stunning. When I saw those guys, and I saw Richard Pryor, and I heard George Carlin, I was like, oh, my God, they're my ministers. Mm-hmm. Like, I had always wondered about, I was raised Roman Catholic, so I'd always wondered about the seeming disparity between the gorgeousness and vastness of all of creation outside, if you just go out and be with a tree or something, and then the restrictive, punitive, you better be good for goodness sake kind of God figure that I was taught about in Roman Catholicism. Plus, with the pomp and the ceremony,
I went through
Latin. There was Latin. I was like, ugh, it was so boring. It was so boring. I was like, God is boring, but look at horses. Look at the sky. You know, why is God boring? You know? Anyway, so I chased it. Then I did acid when I was 11. So and I had a great trip.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, well, I had an older brother who was sort of a troublemaker and a drug dealer and stuff. And so it was one of the best things. I don't recommend it to children, but I had the kind of trip where you just go, oh, my God, life is beautiful. I'm a perfect, whole, and complete child of the universe. I see that my parents have been misinformed. I always thought they were experts, my parents, on everything, mm-hmm. and they just don't know that I'm perfect.
Hmm.
And I got that when I was 11 from this acid trip, and I became one with a tree. And I think I chased that my whole life. Like, what is that? There's more here than meets the eye. I had a glimpse of it, you know, and I want to know more. There's more mystery to life and more mystery to me. And who am I? Am I this personality and this identity screaming for recognition and validation? Or is there something more, something less spectacular and significant, but also more radiant and eternal?
Hmm.
You know, not tap dancing for daddy, blah, 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 look at me kind of personality, but someone truly eternal. Like, what can I tap into the eternal in me? So I loved asking all those questions, Veronica, so I just kept chasing it and knew that the established modes didn't hold any answers for me or none that I liked. So I ended up with the rather fringy, bizarre stuff like the channeled entities, and I was into Rantha for a while. I took lots of transformational courses. I love Landmark Education. It's my favorite, by far the most impactful thing I've ever done. Mm. And I've done lots of stuff.
Mm.
But that 3.5-day course is like enlightenment in a weekend. It's amazing. And so that's one of my favorite things. And then I did some 12-step work and got off of drugs and alcohol at some point, decided I wanted to live and not die.
Oh, that was good. We're glad.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I took a cut at what it was that had me killing myself, because I had, really been rather self-destructive up until about age 40. And I got that when I took that course at Landmark Forum. I really got the answer to that question. That I had been anesthetizing some pain I didn't want to feel my whole life.
And you got it out there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great. I began to bring that out into the daylight and look at it and open my heart again. Because ever since my brother and father died when I was young, my brother drowned from drugs, and then my dad was in a car accident, alcohol-related car accident. And I loved those men, loved them both, you know, so much. And I think I decided that I would never let my self get hurt like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the payoff for that is pretty negative too, isn't it?
I think human beings have a tendency to avoid discomfort. I don't know about you, but I still default to pleasure and comfort.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I'm not out for being a flagellant or anything myself.
Yeah, no, but the thing is that avoiding the discomfort of one's feelings and just, like, not being, letting them move and, you know, hiding from them, that's the thing that has, that had me, you know, that had me anesthetizing myself. I didn't want to feel those feelings.
No, I can really understand that. And I think many, many people live under that kind of lid, don't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It makes us a bit, we act out is what we do when we're like that. So are you acting out when
everybody does. Veronica, I don't think many people, I think everybody. Everybody, we're all walking wounded in some way, right? Something happens, and it's like that analogy of, have you ever heard that analogy of the fleas in the jars?
No.
And they jump, you know, fleas, how they make a flea circus. Fleas jump up and hit their heads on the top of the jar.
Ew.
And then, even when you take, oh, and then they learn to jump just shy of where the lid was. And then when you take the lid off, they continue to jump as though there was a lid.
Aww.
So that's the metaphor is, of course, pretty obvious, is that things happen. We decide something. We narrow the amount of risks we take, the amount of sensation we are willing to feel, and we numb ourselves and we play small. And, yeah, everyone to some degree has some flavor of that. Of
yeah, we play
stuff
it
that
safe, we think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to run out of time, and I want to know, because I know that you're wildly hilarious, and you're going out on the road, and you're going to be up in the Northwest, and how can people find you, come see you?
Well, if your listeners in the Yelm area, I'm going to be at Ricky's Restaurant. Look at my website,
okay.
Ricky's Restaurant, on October 9th and 10th, mm-hmm. And then I'm doing a private residence, a private residence in Woodinville, gorgeous home. That's a sort of an upscale, pricey deal on the 11th of October. Then I'm doing Bainbridge Island on the 13th of October, the Bainbridge Community Center there. And if anyone needs more information, they can send me an email, vanda@vanda.us. My website is vanda.us, and my email is vanda@vanda.us. And by the way, I'm funny. I know I've been really intense this phone call, but I'm really funny.
You were pretty funny at the beginning, I think, and also your story is important because you stood up. I believe that laughter shakes apart some of our thought process so we get a chance to grow and heal, you know?
Oh, no kidding, huh?
And you're really serving, aren't you?
I think it makes a difference for people. I think it does. I've had people approach me, especially when young girls come up and they just say, I love your energy. I want to be like you, you know, like, oh, I love you. So, okay, let me finish telling your listeners that Soul Food Books is on Wednesday, October 15th, and that's on Redmond Way. And my big gig, this is going to be the best thing in the world, the very, very best, is the Center for Spiritual Living in Seattle.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, if you go to their website, I think it's spiritualliving.org, we have a 1,200-seat venue, and we're going to rock the house. And I have two other local comedians who are doing their version of spiritual comedy with me. And it's just exquisite.
And what date is that?
And that's October 17th. It's a Saturday night at the Center for Spiritual Living, Sandpoint Way.
Okay.
Yeah, and tell anyone tell anyone. By the way, to the listeners, to Veronica's listeners, we were wondering how to tell if how many of you are listening and if this makes a difference for you. So I would love it if you would send me an email or Veronica an email so we can kind of get a sense of the scope of this, the impact that we're having. If you would do that, it would mean a lot to me.
Yeah, because we're wanting to make a big difference and have fun while we're at it. So how many of you are listening? And just let us know. And you can vanda@vanda.us, right?
Yeah.
Or veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. We also like your feedback, suggestions, whatever.
Yeah.
But we're looking for a head count.
Groovy Nan. Well, thank you, Veronica. I so love it. Thank you for having me on.
Well, I really enjoyed it. And you made me laugh a lot, especially at the beginning. We were pretty funny there, girl. And so standard.us, and we'll find out exactly where and how to get tickets and all of that.
Excellent.
And safe travels and keep going.
Thank you, Veronica. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Many blessings.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
So that was Vanda Michalowski, and I loved that. That was, to me, it was a lot of fun, but she was also talking about the passion of our existence and how, you know, the creativity sort of bulges out of that, doesn't it? It's really interesting. We're a product of so many experiences. Now, my beloved stepdaughter, Jane Entwistle, is home. She's going to be up next, and we're going to take a little break and get Seth to call Jane Entwistle, and we'll tune back in with you in about 2 minutes' time or even less. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with the Russian Nanny. And guess what? You get to call in. You get to call in and ask Jane questions between 5:30 and 5:55. So think about calling in with your question of the Russian Nanny, also known as Jane Entwistle. We'll see you in a minute. Seth, are you there? Hi, everybody. We're back, and we have a special guest known as Nanny. Hi, Nanny.
Hello, Veronica. This is me, Nanny.
Oh, welcome to the show. We're so excited that you're here. I hear you've been helping people an awful lot these days.
Oh, yes. I have been very busy down here in Los Angeles because, as you might be able to guess, many people need help in Los Angeles.
Well,
it is a place where people are crazy all the time, and you don't just need to be a little child to have nanny. Adults need nanny, too.
Where did you come from, Nanny?
I came across from a very faraway place in Russia, but now I live in Hollywood.
Well, why did you come? Did you come to be a nanny for certain people?
Yes, I was in. I came over to be nanny to a lady called the ukulele. She plays the ukulele.
Oh, great! How did you meet her?
And this is why she is called the ukulele. And so she does this show, and I'm her nanny. And at first, I would just go to the theater and watch her. And then she had me come on the stage. Now, at first, nanny said, I am not a performer. I am only nanny, and I carve potato. Did you know, Veronica, I am famous potato carver.
Oh, I didn't know that. What kind of things do you carve in potatoes?
I have carved everything from Britney Spears to dogs to a vampire one time. If I could see your beautiful face, I would carve potato of you, but I cannot see you because we are on the radio, yes?
Yes. But you're pretty intuitive, right?
Do you mean that I can see things that are not there?
Yes, I do. I believe you can.
Yes, it is because I have spent so much time studying potato that when you get this quiet and still, you can hear things other people cannot hear.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I wonder, Nanny, if we got anybody to call in, would you be willing to talk to them and maybe support them a little bit or carve for them?
Yes, I cannot carve for them because I cannot see them to give them potato, and I am afraid if I put it in the mail, it will not last. But because I am a nanny, I know a lot of things. And so if people are needing help, especially today, it is very hard times. Do you not agree?
I think it's been an awkward time financially for the whole world, not just one or two people.
No, and it is all over the entire globe, this thing. And I see this frustration on people's face and sometimes even anger, and especially when we are here, it is so hot, and we are driving all the time, and the gas prices are up and down, and with all these people on TV, ugh, I tell you, it is hard. People need most time now. They need advice.
Well, what would you do to somebody? I did a show just before this show. It was all about dealing with our fear and the fear of this global problem. Do you have any advice for us about that?
Well, I think Nanny does not know a lot about politics, but always Veronica Nanny believes everything comes down to love. And it is very hard to love in time of fear, but if we can just remember the loving feelings and also to lift our eyes up from the sidewalk when we walk and look at people and see, maybe I can help this person in this time of fear. Maybe I carry this bag of grocery. Maybe I give up my seat, because we are more afraid today than yesterday. And I think it will not help to be so afraid and to remember love. And when you are most afraid, please go and get potato and hold it close to your heart. Potato is a very solid thing, comes from the earth. It will nourish you in more ways than one. You will be surprised, Veronica.
Well, I guess I'll try it.
Yes. Do you not have a garden of your own?
I do. I'm just learning how to grow.
Well, maybe you should grow a potato.
I have 6 or 7 potatoes in my garden right now. I'll go get one.
This is the most fantastic thing. They are right there in your garden for your choosing. You can use potato when you are afraid. When you are angry, is very helpful.
What do you do with the potato when you're angry, Nanny?
Well, please take this potato and you look at it and you think of all the things that are making you angry this day. Maybe it is traffic. Maybe it is the $700 billion bailout. Who knows what makes you angry today? Maybe your cat meows too much. This is me personally, I tell you. My cat meows all the time. And you look at potato and you say this thing to the potato. And you can say in English. You don't have to say it in Russian. And then you squeeze the potato really hard. Squeeze it as hard as you can. I'm squeezing potato right now. You cannot see. Squeeze it. And then go outside and throw it. But please don't throw it at anybody. Just throw it at the ground. You will feel so much better. But also remember, use raw potato, not cooked one, because then you will have mashed potato. Nanny made a joke.
Well, that's very good advice.
I like that you laugh with Nanny.
Yes, it is fun.
So if you have anybody listening to radio that needs to ask a nanny a question, I would love for talking on the phone with them.
Well, I'll tell everybody at home, if you'd like to call in, it's 877-876-5227. That's if you're in the U.S. For you Canadians, it's 888-810-8322. Or the direct line is 530-876-3222. So in the meantime, I want to ask you a question. I know a young woman. Her name is Brenna, and she's considering writing a book. And she's a little worried about writing the book and so on. Do you have any advice for her? She's a young woman. Beautiful.
Oh, this is most great thing for a young person to write a book. Well, I think like with anything, you just have to start and not worry so much about getting it perfect. Maybe this lady, this young, beautiful lady, will worry about doing it right. Everybody worries about doing everything right, but we all make mistakes or don't know or learn by trial and error. I think maybe just start this thing. Write anything. It doesn't matter. Draw a picture of the potato and then describe the potato if you have nothing else to write about. And soon I feel like maybe inspiration will come, and not to worry about doing everything perfectly. Daddy was very afraid. First time on stage, carving potato in front of people, and worried would not do it right. But, you know, no option to, but only to carve this thing and present. And they love anyway because it is a gift from my heart.
Well, how did you start carving potatoes in the first place?
Well, you know, when you are peeling potato to feed people for many days, after a while, it maybe gets a little boring, no? I don't know if you have ever had to feed many people and peel potato.
A little bit of that I've done. Mm-hmm.
Yes, after a while, it's thinking you maybe go crazy with this peel after peel. And so the mind starts to wander and, oh, look at this potato. It looks like a cloud. It looks like a tree. Maybe so I started carving away, and soon everybody was amazed that the meal I served was not only a great meal, but also had some artistic merit.
Well, so you just took off from there.
Yes, it was not something I ever dreamed to be. I never thought as a small child, I will be great potato carver. I did not think this thing, Veronica. I tell you the truth. It just happened magically one day. And now I find I have to split my time between nanny and potato.
Do you have to work as a nanny quite a bit?
Yes, it is the way that I stay here. You know, I am independent contractor. All you need is $10.99. You can have nanny, too. Come to your house.
Oh, well, I wouldn't mind that. I mean, do you clean and cook as well?
Cleaning, not so much. But I will cook for you.
Well, it seems that you're very inspiring. Now, nanny, do you write? Do you have a book?
No, nanny does not have a book. Nanny is just learning about things like how to make Manny appear on computer has been most magical thing. You can see Nanny on YouTube. I am amazed at this thing every day. I look and see, there I am, talking to the people about potato. Maybe I, too, after a while, will write this book, or maybe somebody will write for me.
Well, that's very exciting, because you're so creative, aren't you?
Well, it appears so. There is this young man here named, hard to say name, Regal and Blatt. They are young men who dress alike and play a funny song on guitar that makes Nanny laugh very hard. I have been on the stage with them in this show, and they are very, very talented and funny, and they love Nanny and said they want to make a plate with Nanny's face on it. Can you imagine eating dinner and all of a sudden you finish your steak and potatoes and their nanny is smiling at you?
I think that sounds pretty perfect, especially if there were potatoes there, huh?
Yes, of course, always potato.
So what is it you want to do? Is it you want to do more and more of this, or you want to be a teacher, or you want to be an intuitive reader of people through the potato?
I think that most importantly, I want to make people feel good always, remind people about love all the time because it is so easy to forget. I was recently in San Francisco because my lady, who I am nanny to, the yucca lady, was performing, and so I had to go and make sure she was okay and also be on stage with her too. And many people in the audience, they seem so tired or maybe a little anxious. And so Nanny would tell them about her ideas about remembering love. And all of a sudden, it was like, and Nanny does not take responsibility for this, like I am some great thing, please. Nanny is very humble. But it is like light, come into theater, and everybody be connect.
Why do you think it works that way?
Because people forget and always looking down at the ground and thinking about, what do I have to do? Where I have to go to the grocery store. I have to pay my electric bill. And busy, move fast, look at the ground, don't look up. And forget about community, loving people and helping. So sometimes just need small reminder. You know, Veronica, you will be most surprised to know I have listened to your show before.
Oh, really? That's wonderful. I'm very flattered.
And this thing you do for people, every week you do this thing for people.
Thank
it reminds
you.
Them to lift eyes from the ground and to always go back to the heart. You do this great service for people.
Thank you.
Yes, and it's a very makes me very happy to know you are in the world.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Well, now, Nanny, do you have a boyfriend?
Oh, my goodness, I can't believe you asked this thing. You make me blush if you could see how red my cheek is, like dead in new red potato. Always everybody wants to know about Nanny and her love life. What is so fascinating?
Well, it's what makes the world go around. You're talking about love.
I know, but I am talking about a different kind of love, Veronica. It is funny. People, when Nanny is on stage and there is men on the stage, like magician or these young men, Regal and Blatt, I tell you, they always come over and try and hug Nanny or give her a kiss. Even Valentine's, on Valentine's Day, Nanny got so many Valentines. And even they have asked Nanny to go on a date on this stage.
Oh, my. Did he go?
No. Nanny is too busy to go on a date.
Have you ever gone on a date, Nanny?
Well, yes, once. I went with this comedian. He, I cannot remember his name. He's a very funny cruise ship comedian. Came on the show here. The show here is called The Pony Show. It is Ukulele's Pony Show.
Is it about horses?
No, but she loves this pony. She's a... I don't know if you have seen Ukulele. She is a little bit crazy. She's a very...
I think I saw her with you in one of your YouTube performances.
Oh, that was Astrid Strudelman, yes. She talks to unicorns. She is one of the peoples that Ukulele plays. So this man came on the show, and he's a cruise ship comedian, and he asked Nanny for a date. And on the show, and we went, but I had Ukulele come as chaperone.
Well, are you going to stay working with Ukulele, or are you going to have your own show?
I don't know. People tell me, Nanny, you need to have your own show, but I am not a performer.
Oh, I think you're pretty funny.
I am only a nanny.
Would you like being a nanny?
Yes, I love being nanny to people and making them feel good and helping. Some people need too much help, though, and a nanny is exhausted at the end of the day. But for the most part, nanny loves being nanny. Do you have a nanny?
It's excellent. Do you have? Do I have a nanny? No,
yes.
I don't. Would you like to be my nanny?
Yes, but you live so very far away.
I know. Well, maybe you'll come visit me.
I will come visit you.
Do you have any wisdom for raising children? Or this is a very intense world, and if we're so intense with the children, it's hard for them to grow up and be happy, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And then everybody will need a nanny. Well, I think it is never too young to start teaching about this, helping people. Respect and love, all these things that are missing all the time with the grown-up people. It is never too early. You know, when I was in San Francisco and doing the show for the Fringe Festival, people would write questions to give to Nanny. Nanny would answer on the stage. And one of the questions was, "Dear Nanny, how do I keep my children from killing each other?"
Of course.
And so Nanny's advice, as always, Veronica, if you will please remember this thing, goes back to potato. So what I tell them is give each child potato and tell them to make it look like the other child. Decorate with pieces of clothing and, you know, funny things to make look like hair and little puff balls to make for eyes. And they spend all this time concentrating on making their potato look like their brother or sister. Okay, during that time, they are not fighting. And then also you tell them whenever you are feeling angry about your brother or sister, you talk to the potato instead. And if you feel like punching or hitting, which is never advised, if you go back to potato and squeeze that sink instead of your brother or sister.
Well, that's a brilliant idea. Did anyone try it?
I don't know, because we were in theater at the time.
Hmm. What are some other questions? That's actually a wonderful answer. I'm going to put this in the book about Nanny and the Potato.
Nanny and the Potato. One other question was, this woman wrote email to Nanny one time and said, "Dear Nanny, how do I cope with husband who thinks he knows everything?" Well, no, she said, "How do I fix husband who thinks he knows everything?" And I said, "Dear lady, you cannot fix this thing. This man will always think he knows everything. And that is just who he is. You cannot do anything about this, right?"
Mm-hmm.
But what you can do is go back again to potato. Cut two small, tiny pieces off the potato and dry very well with towel. And then put peace in each ear. And then when he tells you all these things he knows, you can just nod and smile, because you cannot hear what he says.
Unless you get really hot under the hair, and then it'll melt the potato and you'll have...
Well, maybe then, and you have to use raw potato, not cooked. And also, please, Veronica, do not eat this potato once it has been in ears. It's a health code violation. Nanny learned this thing the hard way.
Aw, did you do that, Nanny?
I'm not allowed to tell on the air, but I just warn you, please, whenever you're using potato for some kind of beauty application or putting an earplug, don't eat afterwards.
Well, also, can you... Thank you for the advice.
You're welcome.
Can you give us a beauty tip?
Yes, well, you know, I don't know if you know this thing, but... down here in Los Angeles, Nanny has battled with her skin. It is dry all the time and red. I don't know why. Well, probably because the air is bad, perhaps. But it is dry here. So I don't know if you know this, Veronica, but there are two things you can do with potato for skin. One, if you are out of time and it is very hot, you take this cold potato, you cut in half. It has been in the fridge. You cut in half, and then you gently rub this potato on your skin. It feels so good. It is cold and refreshing and will moisturize. But a very old recipe, this is true, I speak the truth, is you mash potato with a little bit of cream, and then you apply to face like a mask, you know this thing?
Yes, yes.
And leave on for maybe 10 minutes. And it will moisturize your skin. And then you throw away. You do not eat.
A violation, a code violation.
Yes, right? Of course.
Well, let's see what other kind of tips you can give us. These are wonderful tips. They need to be in a little book, don't you think?
Perhaps. Some of these are well known for passed down for ages from lady to lady, or maybe from man to lady, or... not just lady, but some are very old, like using the mashed potato and cream, or if you are in the kitchen and you burn yourself, you can cut a piece of potato and put... if it is a very bad burn. If skin is broken, you do not put potato on skin. Now, please, listeners, hear me when I tell you this thing. Nanny is not a doctor. And it does not have gone to school to study this thing. This is just Nanny's own personal words of advice. So I cannot be liable. This is a big word. I cannot be liable for this thing you do on your own.
Well, this is good that you reminded everybody, but I think you're safe with my listeners.
Hope so, because they seem like very beautiful people. But yes, if you're in kitchen and maybe little oil splatter and give you small little burn, but does not break skin or create big blister, nice piece, cool piece of potato will make that feel very good.
Where do you get your potatoes?
Well, I try nowadays, learning of the world, to buy organic potato. Trader Joe's is a good place for potato.
Mm-hmm.
Or farmer's market, too. I like to go buy from the people and see their face when I buy potato. It makes me feel good.
And you know that they've actually had to do with growing it, don't you?
Well, yes, you can look into their face and know, oh, you are the ones that perhaps helped Maybe they are not the farmer. Maybe they are only helper. But you get the feeling of the farm, the people. It is nice to buy from the people.
Yes, it is. Now, Nanny, are you performing anywhere? Are you standing up and talking to people anywhere in Los Angeles or even in the Northwest soon?
Nanny, well, the Yucca Lady is planning on doing the Tony Show again. And, of course, Nanny will be there, but I don't have any dates or anything.
Do you have a website where people can find out?
No, not really. Well, if you go on this MySpace and look for Yucca Lady, you will see. But Nanny has a very good friend. You may know her name is Jane.
I know Jane.
You know this lady. I think you know her very well. Jane is a very good friend of Nanny. And sometimes Nanny and Jane share many things, and so you could always go to, let me see, this website is www.thejaneshow.com, and Jane is spelled with a Y, J-A-Y-N-E, thejaneshow.com.
Well, and I'd like to remind people who check into that to also look at the Jane's, one of the little video icons that are there, and pay attention to Jane's improv. She won an improv song, a singing improv situation, so pay attention to listen to the words and the music of Dust.
Oh, yes, she sang the song Dust for you.
Yes.
It is on the website. You can listen.
Yes, it's wonderful. So we'll check the website to see what's up with you and what you're doing.
Yes, me, Nanny, and Jane. And Veronica, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I'm having a wonderful time chatting with you here in the beautiful Northwest and the sun shining.
Oh, I'm very glad to know the sun is shining because it makes you happy.
Yes, it does. And so you can come up and visit us here, and we'll do this radio again over the air, but while we're looking at the air.
Well, if I am looking at you, then I can carve potato for you.
That would be wonderful.
I like this thing.
Is there anything final you'd like to share with everyone before you go?
I don't think so. It's just only to... yes, I would like for everybody to pay special attention to this one thing I am going to say, and to always remember, Nanny loves you.
Oh, thank you, Nanny.
Yes, Nanny loves everybody, even though she cannot see them because it is the radio. And Nanny loves you too, Veronica.
Thank you. I love you too, Nanny.
Yes, it is a very most honorable thing that you shared some of your time on the radio with just only a nanny.
It was a wonderful experience to have you here, and I'd sure like it if you come back again. Maybe people will call in next time, but this has been a wonderful, enjoyable experience.
I know. I would have liked to have talked to somebody in the audience.
Well...
maybe they are shy and they don't know what to say.
Next time, there'll be a lineup.
Yes.
All right. Well, much love to you, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. Goodbye, Veronica.
Goodbye, Nanny, and goodbye, Jane.
Okay. Goodbye.
Goodbye. So that was Jane Entwistle as the Nanny, the Russian Nanny, and I really encourage you to check her website, The Jane Show, J-A-Y-N-E, for Jane, The Jane Show, and check out her little, there's a couple of, when you go into it, it's a really wonderful website. There are a couple of little icons that are video cameras, and one of them you get to see Jane doing an improv song contest that she won. And the song is Dust for Me, and that's also really good. And if you check her website, you'll find out where she's going to be. We're encouraging her to come up to the Northwest and visit and maybe do a performance somewhere up here. So let's pay attention, and I'll have it on my website as well. So this is Veronica Entwistle. That was an unusual show. We had quite a laugh and quite a depth from Vanda Mikulowski and quite a depth from Jane Entwistle doing The Beloved Nanny and her potato therapy. Isn't that great? Next week, I don't know who my guest is going to be on Paradigm Shifters, but these are Paradigm Shifters. These are people that are taking us into a much more loving and expanded space, aren't they? And then I'll put somebody in that's really interesting because I have a few people in mind. And then the week after, there's Linda Sherman, and you might want to check out in preparation Soothsayer, SoothSayer.com. And Linda Sherman has had a huge, huge success of using astrology to really decide to make predictions, actually, about what's coming up on the planet, what's coming up in our culture, what kind of changes can we expect. And she's been very accurate about a number of them, including this latest financial round-the-world challenge. So look her up. And it's called soothsayer.com. Her name is Linda Sherman, S-C-H-U-R-M-A-N, and we're going to be talking to her as a paradigm shifter on the 21st of October. And the 29th of October, we're talking to Swami Beyondananda, and he is so amazing with his, he's pretty good, talks about, it's his humor, but also he talks about what the real issues are in the world right now. He's very fast on his feet. And in his words, he's just great. A lot of you know that. So this is Veronica Entwistle. Tune in on Thursday night at 8 o'clock when I'll be on with Jackie Salvitti and the team. I'm not sure where we're going with subjects this week, but I'll bet you they're going to be talking about fear, holding your own, and strength and courage in this time of changing the systems on the planet, which is one way to look at it. Or maybe they're going to talk about the supposed arrival of a great big spaceship, but we'll see about that. And that's 8 o'clock on Thursday night. I love being on Jackie Salvitti's show. It's called ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness, and we truly do that. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, if you'd like to have a session with me, want to journey into what your soul journey is all about, what are some of your gifts that maybe you haven't dug out yet, how are your relationships, finances, and so on, and talk to the guides and angels about empowering yourself and shifting the frequencies of reactiveness that are maybe blocking your wholeness. And you can get hold of me, Veronica, at VeronicaEntwistle, no H in Entwistle.com, Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com, or 510-595-5564, 510-595-5564, or simply tune in next Tuesday afternoon. I'd love your feedback, suggestions, comments, and of course, as Vanda said, a little bit of a head count. All right, much love to you and many blessings. We'll see you Thursday night.